This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, What God Requires of Me, Part 1, Pastor Scott goes over the first three things that God requires of us and the importance of doing so. This message was recorded on Sunday, October 18th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope. Hey, regarding the Wednesday service, I think we're doing every other Wednesday. So it's not this Wednesday, but next week Wednesday. And we did have a wonderful time. We had like 30 people here. And we had a wonderful time being able to ask questions and just breaking out into little groups and talking, story, and praying for one another. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. Well, it's like the middle of October already. Man, you guys ready? Are you guys gearing up? I mean, next thing you know, Halloween, Christmas, I mean Thanksgiving, and then Christmas. I'm excited for the Thanksgiving feast that we normally have. Like I said, Christmas music, I started listening to it already. It's just so wonderful, so refreshing, and I love every bit of it. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Where is Pastor Aaron? Did he go? He spoke the last couple weeks. Thank you very much. So I coming back up here, the nerves all stir again. And, you know, I'm glad he spoke on the Sundays that was really, really hot. Didn't plan it that way, but it worked out. But thank you so much. You know, ever since I started to walk with the Lord and I read His Word, the more and more I read His Word and the more I kind of get an understanding of what I need to do. And if you're anything like me, if you are married, you may have the problem at one time or another trying to figure out what exactly is your role. Many times in marriage we get frustrated, we put unexpected, unspoken expectations on our spouse, and a lot of the times it happens because we think certain things are common sense. And or maybe we communicated in our mind but not verbally, and we get frustrated. Sometimes I wish, you know, our wives for me would just tell me what she wants. You know, when I ask her, "Hey, honey, what do you want for your birthday?" "Oh, nothing." And if I got her nothing, what do you think would happen to me? Yeah, I would either get beaten up by her, or I would be sleeping in my car, or I might be sleeping at the church. And sometimes, you know, I wish they would tell me, "What you want for your birthday? I want a 10-carat diamond ring. Sorry, but that's out." Or, you know, "I want you to be Prince Charming. I want you to be romantic." It's like, man, they just ask for the impossible. Just tell me what you want that I can, that's practical. And sometimes, you know, like when we get married, and for us men, we think we really don't know what our role is. Sometimes we think our role is, you know, sex. That's all we know, right? That's our role as a husband. But sometimes when you get into the Word of God and when you start going through this relationship, you fight and you like, I don't know if you're like me, but you just stand there scratching your head, "What am I doing wrong?" And then as you develop the relationship, you kind of, as you go along, the bumps in the road, the potholes, you slowly learn. And my wife was very, very patient with me for many years, because for many years I couldn't figure it out. I was just, you might want to say ignorant, because I didn't know God, and everything in our relationship was about me, what I wanted, what I needed. And I think for her was, and for me, was frustrating, because I didn't know what was required of me. I believe that when you enter into a relationship, if you know what is required of you, then the relationship will become better. And for my wife, poor thing, because it took so long for me to catch on what was required of me and my role as a husband, I thank God that she had the patience to endure. And you know what? I'm still learning every day how I can be the husband that God created me to be. This is the thing. When you read the Bible, God tells us, yeah? And aren't you glad that when it comes to having this relationship with God, He tells us what exactly He wants from us. He doesn't beat around the bush, but He gets straight to the point. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the fourth book in the Bible. I'm not going to tell you what page it's on, because everybody's Bible is different. So Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments, His statutes, which I'm commanding you today for your good. Now, what is happening here? Moses, this is Moses' second trip up the mountain. Because you know what happened the first time when he came down with the tablets, right? He got mad. He seen the golden calf and he just threw the tablets. It sounds like sometimes how mad when I get and I throw things around. But this is his second time up the mountain. He had to get two more stone tablets just like the first one. And he had to take it back up. And here, he's getting these stone tablets engraved by God. And before he leaves, before he decides to go back down the, before he goes back down the mountain, God gives him these words. And we are taught here by God in our principles, in our practice, what we need to do, that we must fear the Lord God. We must love Him, delight in communion with Him. We must walk in His ways, which he commands us to. And then we must serve Him. And in this service, we must do it cheerfully, with goodwill, and keep His commandments. Now, if you ever listened, if you ever listened to your spouse, your parents, your boss, I mean, there is honor and there is pleasure in obedience. I mean, nothing can be more true than that. When I obeyed my parents, man, that was a good feeling inside, knowing that you can walk around the house and not like, when they call your name and they use your first, middle, and last name, Scott, Masa, Shiroma, come here. Oh, shoot. But when you obeyed your parents or your boss or God even, you kind of feel like, wow, I feel good. God stirred me to get up early this morning. I got up. I did my devotion. You know, there's a great pleasure for me in obedience. And we must give honor to God. And we must cling to Him as we are. We love and delight and we trust in Him. Because I believe God expects a lot from us. And I believe that we can be obedient. We can understand and do what God requires of us. Not by our own strength, yeah, but by the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit who lives with us. Amen? So number one, okay, we need to fear the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. the beginning. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I tell you what, 37 years, I was a fool. I didn't want to come near to God. I was just rebellious. Yeah. King Solomon tells us here that fear of the Lord is just the beginning of knowledge. Now, if we don't understand what this means, then maybe we haven't scratched the surface when it comes to understanding God. And if I was to talk on fear of the Lord, we could talk about this for weeks. Most people, when they think of fear, when you think of fear, okay, you don't think of me, right? Because I am not fearful. I am probably the least fearful person here because I'm short and I have a nice smile. And I cut my hair this week. Yeah, I was getting kind of scruffy looking, yeah. Thanks for reminding me, people, and I took care of it. It was a whole weight lifted off my head, let me tell you. I tried to get just the white ones taken off, but didn't work. So King Solomon tells us, fear is just the beginning of knowledge, right? And when most people think of it, they think maybe frightened. Most people terrified, scared. Maybe, what was the spookiest movie you ever watched? And then you think, then after you watch that, you cannot sleep because you're afraid or you're fearful. Yet others think of fear of the Lord in kind of like a negative sense. Like God is there, he's there watching you, and he's just waiting to pounce on you the second you do something wrong. That maybe God is a harsh taskmaster. Remember in Matthew, Jesus, Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, 24 and 25. And the one who had received one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. And I went away and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. See, this guy, fear of punishment caused this guy to do nothing with what was given him. And if we have this kind of view of God, it is distorted. And it might cause you to be unproductive in your walk with the Lord. Fear of God lies at the heart of successful living in this world. The healthy fear enables you and I to praise God, to enjoy the benefits of his blessing at his hand, to have peace and security. But fear of God also produces fear of wrath, judgment, in those who do not know him or who refuse to serve him. Thus, there are two sides to fear of the Lord. That which produces awe and reverence and obedience. That's for those people like you and I who know who God is. It produces that respect, that awe. That's why we worship him, and that respect, that reverence we have. Yeah. And that which causes one to cower and dread and terror, anticipation of his displeasure, that's for those who only know about him without having that relationship with him. So we need to fear the Lord, like have this ultimate respect and awe. We cannot treat God like any other thing. We need to treat him the way he deserves to be treated, with respect, with honor, and be in awe of what he does and who he is. So fear the Lord. Number two, walk in his ways. In Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God. Not imitators trying to be all powerful. not playing God to your children, but be imitated in His character as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. So we need to act a certain way. We need to imitate. We should be developing a practice of imitating God's character. God's character should be reproduced in us. And we are His children, and growing and changing, and every single day becoming more and more Christ-like. Amen? Ephesians 5:16, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, Paul right here was encouraging believers, don't live like a fool, but as those who are wise. How many times during your week you see people doing stupid things and you think, man, you just shake your head, and it's like, not to judge, but I was there for many years living like a fool. And Paul was encouraging us as believers, live as wise people. In other words, we must take what we know about Christ, which comes from the Bible, apply it into our daily lives, and we need to be especially aware of our conduct. You know, at work or when we're in public, wherever, so that we don't cause unbelievers to not want to come to know God. We cannot waste time acting thoughtlessly, because we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to reflect God. We have a responsibility to serve. We have a responsibility to share the gospel message and be ready. Because if we're not going to develop this character, because that's what God wants us to do, because when people see us, they need to see the Jesus in us. Amen? And we want to cause people to say, like, wow, I want to know what He knows. I want His God, because I can see how He handles every situation. And that's what God requires of us. You know, to walk in His way. Not come to church on Sunday, behave a certain way, and then go back out Monday and just be reckless and swearing and cursing God and doing immoral things that everybody else can see, and they say, like, oh, I don't want that. But you want people to look at you and be able to see the characters of God that He is developing you every day when you read His word. Amen? Okay, so number three, we gotta love God. We gotta really love God. I do a lot of grocery shopping because I love to eat. Yeah, I really do. Granted, I don't eat as much as I used to, which is a good thing, but I still love to eat. And you know, you go shopping and you see children begging their parents, buy me this. You ever been there? You ever did that as a child? Mom, please buy me this. Please, please, please. I promise, Mom, I'll listen. I promise I'll love you forever. You might have done that. I've did, and I've done that. And you know, we gotta love God not because of what He can do. We gotta love God just because we gotta love God, right? Not because, oh God, I'm gonna love you if you make the sun shine today, or I'm gonna love you if you heal me. We need to love God the way He wants, the way He deserves to be loved. Amen? You know, is our love for God based on what He can do for us? How are we to love God? I remember when, way back when I first started dating my wife, man, I had a hard time leaving her house. You know, pulling out of her subdivision, I was thinking like, shoots, when am I going to see her again? Only to go home and call her up. Just so that's the last voice I hear at night. Just so I can dream about her. And it's like, oh, I miss her. And then when you say goodbye and nobody wants to hang up the phone, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up first. And, you know, because you're in love. But the good thing about God is we don't have to leave His presence. We never have to hang up the phone on Him. We never have to drive out of His driveway wondering, oh, I guess I see you, God, next week, Sunday, when I come back. He is with us every day. One day this week, I was feeling really miserable, and I was feeling far away from God, and it's a terrible feeling. It really is. And I was praying, God, I know that if I am feeling far away from you, it's not you who moved, it is me. So I was, you know, just trying and praying just so desperately to get closer to God. And, you know, and then as I prayed and I was going about my day, I started to get better and better. And I go through these seasons just like you. And it's a tough time, and we just need to stay focused in those seasons. Yeah. The thing is, we never have to leave God's presence. Mark 12:30, Jesus says this, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You know, if God did not answer any of your prayers from this day forward, would you understand that what He did on the cross was enough? Would you abandon Him tomorrow? Does your love for God depend on what He does for you? Or what you think you can get from Him? Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I read that story to you the other week in Daniel. And I like how in Daniel they say, you know what? No matter what, King, we ain't bowing to your statue. And if God saves us, He saves us. If not, we still not going to bow down. We're going to obey God. In other words, we love God no matter what, even if we got to die. Oh, that's a tough thing, because sometimes if we think, like, if God doesn't answer our prayers, we get mad. Just like yesterday, right after I poisoned and it rained, I was over there like, really, God? Really? Man, I was kind of frustrated, and it's like, man, that's all right, God. I'm sorry. Forgive me for even thinking like that, because I know you're in control, and, you know, if you want the weeds to die, it will die. If not, I'm going to have to do it again and just plan better when it's sunny, or maybe I would have to pray more before I start. The love and loyalty these three guys had for God wasn't conditional. Didn't matter if God would deliver them or not. They were committed to loving God. That's a great story. And for us, do we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are we trusting Him? Are we, you know, walking in His way? Or do we love God because, you know, He got you a new car, or He gave you good health, or He gave you a wonderful spouse? Because we need to love God no matter what, with all of our being, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that doesn't happen overnight, but it comes in time. As you spend more and more time with Him, you understand Him. And I think the more you understand Him, the more you understand what He requires, the more you fall in love with Him. John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." If you love me. How many of you love God? Everybody's hand better go up. Yeah. See, the disciples' love for Christ was revealed in their obedience. You know, Christ, He set the pattern of love and obedience. Remember when He was in the garden praying, and He started praying and He started sweating blood, and He said, "Lord, if possible, take this cup, but not my will, but your will." He was so in love that He was willing to submit to God no matter what. You know, if you love someone, you listen to them. You obey them. Many of us, a lot of us are married. When our spouse asks us something, we listen. If you don't listen, then come see me for counseling. But we listen because we love. Amen? And if God asks you to do something, if He asks you to give an offering, if He asks you to serve in a ministry, what are you going to do? You're going to ignore Him? If He got you up this morning, He brought you to church, you were obedient. And the thing is, when we read the Bible, and that's why I encourage you guys to read the Bible. When you read the Bible and you write in a book what God has spoken to you, when you understand what God wants you to do, man, that relationship you have with Him can be so much better. Because you know what you need to do. And for me, like, I always go back to my marriage, because once I knew what was required of me, what I needed to do in my relationship to strengthen my relationship, my marriage got better. And as I love God more, I love my wife more. You know, one of the things Pastor Alex taught me is date night, that's a requirement if you're married. And thank you, because that really helps. Actually Friday night, I asked my wife, "What are you doing tomorrow morning?" She goes, "I'm not too sure." So I said, "Let's get up and let's go out at 7 o'clock. Let's go to that new coffee place, have a cup of coffee, and do our devotions." And we had such a wonderful time. The place was empty. I guess nobody gets up that early on a Saturday, or they drive through. But it was a wonderful time. I got to see Taylor working. But, you know, I try to do this every single week. Take my wife out of the date, and I try to buy flowers as often as I can. And I take them and I deliver them to the office, just to make all the other ladies jealous. See, they asked me, "Can you tell my husband to do that?" I tell, "Send him to men's ministry. We'll work on him." Yeah. If you want flowers, send your husbands to men's ministry and we'll encourage him a little bit more. But ever since I got to fall in love with God and understand what He wanted from me, man, I got to understand better what I need to do in my marriage. And man, when you can understand that, oh, marriage becomes so good, because you're not walking on eggshells, you know what you need to do, and there's peace, there's happiness, love flows. The same thing with God. Man, when I found out that I needed to do these things, you know, not treat God like any other person, but just fear him and respect him. Not be so afraid of him, but just treat him with respect and awe and reverence. You know, to walk the best I can according to the scripture, to love him. This relationship grew, my relationship with God. And it gets better and better. Amen. You can put away your notes. I asked the worship team to come up. You know, one of the requirements that really God is at the heart of God. One of the things he wants to be Lord of your life. He wants that invitation to come into your heart. And if you have never done that before, then I would like to pray a prayer that you would pray with me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And if you want to begin a relationship with him, then you need to pray this prayer with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Bless you back there. Anybody else? Let me put your hands down. Lord, thank you so much that today you are letting us know what you want from us. And Lord, I pray that as we understand and as we know what you want of us, that we would be obedient and do what you require of us. Not put it on the side, but put it in our hearts and let it come out through our actions. That we would be your children, obedient and ready, Lord. And as we obey you, and as we are your light in the community, Lord, use that. Use this to reach people, to expand your kingdom, to spread the gospel. We thank you so much, and we love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Give the Lord thanks.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kea, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.